a lot less than that. I also need props, like PowerPoint and video and stuff. You know, Dave's a great preacher, so he doesn't need that. I do, so should be fun. It is definitely a privilege to be here tonight. I like church on Sunday night. You know, I woke up this morning, I was able to watch football, hang out. I was like, wow, I need to move to Sunday night church. So, yeah, this is good stuff. So tonight I labeled the talk tonight, just why missions. You know, I think missions is fun. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes maybe when you hear missions, we get all these pictures in our mind. When I was a young person in a pew, we had our missionaries come in. I got glassy-eyed and thought, you know, trying to check out and snooze with my eyes open. So hopefully this will be fun. There's an evangelist in India, and he has this saying. It's a great saying, I think, for missions, going with what Dave said. He says, "Don't bring us the gospel in a potted plant. Bring us the seed of the gospel and plant it in our soil." And I just think that is a great illustration for missions. You know, we're not to bring an Americanized cultural gospel. And sometimes it gets kind of confusing because we live in this culture. I've had the opportunity to go about to 40 different nations. So I've had a chance to see a lot of different cultures, Buddhism, Islam, animist, you name it. Pretty much I've seen most of the world religions. And it gives you a great opportunity to see how other people believe. And I realized early on, all my little answers, you know, that I learned didn't quite work when you're right there. And so I've learned some things over the years by just experience. But it really is an honor tonight to be here. You know, it's such a privilege to see people come to Christ. It really is. I'm sure some of you have had the privilege to lead people to Christ. It's such a privilege to go to other nations of the world and see how they have church. There's some places in the world you say, hey, church is at 10 in the morning, which really means about 11:30. You never know for sure. You finally, you know, you get there, and then it goes for 3 hours, and they're dancing and going for it, you know, and they pack up, and like, wow. And it was all in a different language. So I was like, so it made it look like twice as long. But good stuff. I've been in, you know, some interesting cultural experiences where in one place in Europe, after church, you know, we have coffee time and potluck. They have kegs with beer. So it's just a, you know, not that they got drunk, but just beer was fine in the culture there. I was at the one place, it was really cool, because after you get done eating, it's the way you show that you really appreciate the meal is you just burp. I mean, just full on, just let it go. And if you don't, it's actually pretty rude. And so the guys were definitely loving that culture. The girls found it a little hard, you know, when you get trained. It really shows you sometimes cultural things that we grow up with, you know, and, well, this is wrong, this is right, until you start getting at other cultures where you really see, well, maybe it's more different than right and wrong. You know, I've learned so many times over the years as I've gone into places that a lot of things that I thought maybe were, quote, right, I would probably rephrase and just say is different. We do it different in the U.S. And if you haven't really seen anything different, you don't know anything. So it's like, well, of course that's the right way. You know, one of the things is squatty potties. I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to use a squatty potty. I mean, it kind of says for itself what it is, but it's a toilet sunk into the ground, and you have to sit down and squat. And, you know, you work your leg muscles out. I'm just telling you, it's rough, especially if you had some of the local food and you're not used to it. Or on a train. Boy, I was in China. Wow. On the squatty potty. Boy, you know, you don't want to really go there. It was was in India just recently last year, and man, I loved it, India. I didn't really know if, you know, there's a ton of people. I mean, just people everywhere. Matter of fact, India will become the largest nation in the world, like in 2020 or 2025, somewhere around there. It'll overtake China. And so there are people just everywhere, right? And they eat with their hands. And I just, oh man, that was fun. I mean, you're just like this. And it's not rude. You know, of course, you wash your hands really well. You know, and as I've traveled, like I said, to these places, I used to look on to these cultures, and I thought, oh, those poor third world people, you know, they eat with their hands, they have squatty potties, they burp and all these kinds of things. And as I've gotten to realize, you know, that there are reasons why cultures do things. And, you know, we think about how maybe disgusting it is with a squatty potty. You know what? They think we're pretty disgusting. They come over here and you'll see footprints sometimes up on our toilets. Like if you go to the LA airport, if you ever go into the airport and you see footprints on the toilet, you're like, well, this is why, because they're used to squatty potties. So they actually got up on the toilet seat, and because they'd never seen a Western toilet, just like maybe we never seen a squatty potty. Now, the reason they think it's disgusting is like, man, who sat on that toilet last? That is sick. You know, at least when you squat, you know, no one's ever touched that toilet. You know, and I never really thought about it that way. And same with eating. You know, they'll say, well, I know where my hands have been. I've washed them. They're clean. You know, who knows who's just washed that fork? Who knows if it was, you know, all that, and so hygiene-wise. And so sometimes what that helps is that when we go into cultures, we have to be really careful not to go in with our preconceived ideas of what's right, what's wrong, or, ooh, that's weird, you know. And I always try to have people say, okay, you know what, as much as you can, try to control your body language. Because, you know, our body language speaks. Uh-huh, that's great. And your body language is like, oh my gosh, it's horrible. So some good things to learn when you're traveling overseas. All right. When I left to Roseburg, I didn't need glasses. In 8 years, it's pretty sad, but I do now. So, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After these things, I saw, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, out of every nation and out of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And this was the scripture I purposely chose tonight to just kind of bring a context to missions. Why missions? Because one day in Revelation, it says there's going to be a great multitude that no one can count. And it's going to be from every tribe, every nation, every tongue. That is going to happen. It's a vision that came to John. He already saw this thing. So then the question asks, I think begs to be asked, well, how is that going to happen? If this is actually going to be reality, how does it come to happen? How does every nation, when we know that so many people in this world have never even heard Christ? I mean, is it just going to happen? Do they just wake up and get a vision? Well, you know, some do. That's not the norm, but some do. So how does this passage actually going to come to be? How is all these tribes and nations and peoples up in the middle of nowhere going to come to Christ? Definition of missions, a task on which God sends a person. He is called particularly a mission to introduce another group of people to salvation in Christ. In the Christian context, the person sent is called a missionary. This person is charged with the task of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to people to whom he sent. The mission of the church is to send our missionaries to all parts of the world until everyone has had the opportunity to hear the message of Jesus and accept him as Lord. Romans 10, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that, you know, that verse, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's always great to put scripture in context, you know. And I think, you know, when we look at how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news to other people. And how are they going to hear? Well, churches like this and other churches send people out. Some of you may go, but it's God's heart because one day he really does want to see all the nations of the world. So this isn't a missionary thing. This isn't a Ron Brewster thing. This isn't a Dave York thing. It's just God's heart is for the world. You know, and I don't know how it happened for me, but at some point in my life, I got a heart for the world. You know, I got a heart for all these peoples around the world that don't know Christ, the people in Nepal. Like when I was over there last year, you know, the church in Nepal is the fastest growing church in the world. Just a few years ago, maybe less than 10 years ago, there were a handful of Christians. And now this is the fastest growing place. They are seeing miracles. I have some friends that are YWAM guys up there, and they travel up into the villages to preach the gospel. And here's what they tell me, all right? And I kid you not, they're like, Ron, just pray that the stones aren't as big in the next village. And they're not joking because they literally get stoned. They get rocks thrown at them to go and preach the gospel. You know, there was a guy one time they went up and prayed for, and maggots started coming out of his mouth, and all he was sick, you know, and they're just praying for him, and God healed him right on the spot. I mean, amazing, you know. But these guys are doing it. And I think about that verse. How would those people have heard the gospel unless some people got and walked eight hours up the path to preach the gospel, wondering if stones were going to be thrown at them, you know. I appreciate that. I want to crawl under the table sometimes because, you know, these guys, some of them are out just doing some really hardcore stuff. I have a little video clip here I want to show, Dave. It's the World Congress.
There is a solution. It needs to be turned up a little bit. Something's happening.
And revolutionize the entire workings of the church. It is aim lower.
Is it, you got a screensaver going or something? Or?
Give up and go.
I know that's not right. Coffee. That was like the Japanese version. That was the voiceover version, yeah. Sounds like we got rain going on or something. Yeah, we can. It's a really good one if you ever get a chance to see it. I'm not exactly sure it was working earlier. So, yeah, we've got more videos. We'll show another one here in a minute. Sorry about that. Not sure what the deal is with that. Hopefully the other one works. We will find out. All right, well, let's move on. One thing that I found when I travel around, something that has gone further than the gospel. All right, now, we're commissioned to take the gospel into all the world, but there is a company that is so far out ahead of taking the gospel to the world. Anyone know which company that is? What product do you think has gone around the world, virtually 90% of the world? Oh, man, you guys are good. Coke. It's consumed by more people than any other soft drink in the U.S. and the world. It's rated by consumers as the brand that best complements food and overall milk occasion. It's the number one selling soft drink in the U.S. and the world. It's best known brand recognized by over 90% of the world. Now, I get motivated because, you know what, Coke had a globalized strategy because they had a product that they said, you know what, needs to go in all the world. I mean, they literally sat down and said, you know what, Coke is, and I'll tell you, I haven't been to a country yet. Been to 40 of them, there's a lot more out there, but 40 of them, and Coke is there every single time you go. Nepal, you're up in some village somewhere, oh, Coca-Cola, yeah, you know, and it's great. I mean, you can drink Coca-Cola. I'm encouraged because we want to see the gospel go further than Coca-Cola. You know, wouldn't it be great to go up to the village and actually have the gospel have been there before Coca-Cola? And Coca-Cola, I think, motivates me to say, you know what, if Coke can go around the world, God has given us a global strategy to take Christ around the world. A few things about Youth with a Mission before we watch a video here. It was started in 1960. We have 15,000 full-time workers in YWAM. We have works in every nation of the world with over 1,000 operating locations. All right, I'm just going to give you three things about YWAM, Youth with a Mission. This will help you just know this organization a little bit. Our motto in YWAM is to know God and make him known. All right, so we kind of draw the people that want to go make God known, and they want to know him. So to know God and make him known, that's what drives us. Lauren Cunningham, the visionary person of YWAM, he had a vision of waves hitting the shores of the world. This was in 1960. Did you know in 1960, young people didn't do missions? I don't know how many of you, how many people have had a chance to go on a short-term mission? Can you raise your hand? So several of you. You know, in 1960, that wouldn't have happened because you had to go through formal education. Not that that's bad. It's just that it was limited. People who wanted to go out on missions, particularly if you were a young person, you know, there's a lot. And he just saw that God wanted to send young people out all over the world. And he saw waves of young people going. And then YWAM has three focuses: mercy, training, in evangelism. All right, so when you go to a YWAM base, particularly like ours, we have 130 full-time staff up in Montana. We run 14 different training schools, and we do all sorts of things. We have arts and all sorts of fun stuff. We're going out all over the world. I'll share that in a minute. Let's try this video, and we're hoping this one works here. So this is a YWAM Montana video here. I thought a visual might help explain what we do up there. All right, so this is a young guy waiting at the train station for someone to pick him up from YWAM.
In 1985, this was an Air Force base. Now it's a missions training base.
We're here for the lost. We want to use the gifts that God has given us to bring glory to Him and see the lost come to Christ.
Youth with a Mission International, it's just a ministry that came from the heart of God.
We are committed to training and equipping and sending.
Everything we do here at YWAM Montana, from the kitchen to sports to arts, is to train, equip, and to send. Every ministry, every department, we all have the same goal. We want to train people, we want to equip people, and then we want to send them out all over the world.
God will call you into Youth with a Mission, and He'll use those things that are inside of you. You don't have to be a pastor.
All of our programs here have a practicum attached to it, so that you go and you learn in the classroom, you get trained and equipped, and then you go and you actually put it into application.
You can be a basketball player, or a musician, or a dancer, and God wants to use those gifts that He's put within you. And I think Youth with a Mission will allow you to pursue those things that God has put inside of you.
God is really doing some amazing things this week through the speaker, just challenging my faith and believe that He can do great things.
It's not just a quick program where students come in and then they forget about it. Like I'll hear students like 2 or 3 years down the road that the DTS made such a difference in their life because they've changed and they've grown.
By the time I was through with outreach, there was nothing I wanted to be involved with but just ministry.
Here at YWAM Montana, we've targeted 4 nations, Thailand, India, Ukraine, and Nepal. And we send teams there, but we don't exclusively just go to 4 nations. We've also sent teams to 70 other nations of the world.
And our heart is to reach the people of those nations with the gospel of Christ.
We want to work with and connect with the target nations and to be able to say to them, how can we serve you?
It's not until that people's hearts change that we'll see the nations change. And their hearts aren't going to change until they know the word of God and they know it's true.
To know the word, and not simply to know it, but to love it and to live it. Not just head knowledge, but true Holy Spirit-inspired obedience to what the word says.
We're told that we're changed by His glory. We want to meet with Him. We want to be changed. We want to be discipled. Worship is that place. That's why we have worship every day in our schools. That's why we're constantly trying to raise up new worship leaders. This is what we want to take to the nations. Meet Jesus.
A part of that vision and passion is that families would actually serve together and have fun doing what they love doing.
I have people, my family, that say we would love to be able to be in a situation where we have a Christian community where people look after your family, look after your kids, and care for you as people. It's amazing.
It's not a call just for dad, it's not a call just for mom, it's the whole family that's called. So Weston, Luke, and Kendall are also called here.
We really are teaching people by very hands-on experience. We're a body. We work together here.
It's the whole body working together to be able to go out and accomplish the Great Commission.
Our heart would be that you would get a call to go and preach the gospel where the gospel has not been preached before.
There's broken people all over the world who are hungry for something more, and we have got the answer.
And we have that responsibility to take it to the world, regardless of where that is.
There's a place for everyone, and God gave you the skills that you need to do what He has called you to do. Sometimes it just takes stepping out of faith.
Coca-Cola has virtually gone into all the world. They've taken it further than the gospel. We want to see the gospel go further than Coca-Cola, truly into all the world.
I will not substitute the call of God upon my life for anything else. That's the impact that YWAM has had in my life.
And there may be some of you out there that you're feeling God's got a heart that He's giving you towards the world, and you don't know what to do about it. I just want to encourage you to pray about coming and joining us for a DTS. And to come and spend 3 months in lectures and letting God speak to you and having other people come and input into your life. And then taking the next 2 months to go overseas and to do a field assignment and an outreach and to be able to share Christ with people. And I'm telling you, it'll transform your life.
So come on out and use the Commission of Montana to get a taste of life in strategic mission. Please visit our website at ywamnt.org for more information about the various programs.
Cut! Cut!
Well, we're just trying to shoot a base promo here, bud.
We are so sorry. We had no idea.
That's okay. It's okay. It's just, we've been trying to get this thing done for quite some time now, so we just got to get this done. Everyone, we're going to have to do this again. Must be done today. All right, someone block off that entrance.
Sorry about the audio on that. I'm not sure. You can go to the website, ywmmt.org, and the audio is actually even, so I'm not sure if that was just a bad DVD our guys gave us, but kind of give you an idea of what we do there. On our website, it has a lot more there as well. There's the couple, yeah. You notice Dave tries to get that picture in there a few times. I have one in there too, I think. Yeah, I think that's good. Dave? So we've had the opportunity over the last 20 years now to send teams to over 80 nations of the world. We've trained literally thousands of people the last 20 years. We train about 500 people each year. This quarter, it's really awesome. We have 118 students, and 35 of them are from different countries of the world. So we have places like, where do we got? Chad, Africa. I mean, how these people find Lakeside, Montana? It's not like a metropolis, you know, it's very difficult. We have someone from Burma. We have Kyrgyzstan. 3 from India, Thailand, all over Europe. Where was that, babe? Mongolia. We've had Burkina Faso this summer. So it's really amazing to have the different nations. You know, and as they come here, as they come to Montana, I see God's heart. These people are awesome. They're beautiful. You know, we miss out if the kingdom is not going to be full of the nations of the world. And God has given us a mandate because it's His heart. You know, some of you know that I've adopted 2 kids. Mariah is half Moroccan and a quarter Thai, you know? And she's that ethnic part. I mean, Thailand and Morocco are both two countries that desperately need Christ, and they're adopted in. And God says, you know, we're adopted into his family. His heart is to adopt all his kids, you know, and some of his kids just don't know their kids yet. They need to be told. They need to be able to have the revelation from God that they are adopted. And it's fun to go over, man. I've just so many stories, but Mercy Ministry. We've sent some teams down to Katrina. I'm sure some of you guys, you know, we've all heard of stuff going on there. Just amazing. You know, one time we sent a team down to Ground Zero in New York, right after the Trade Towers had gone down. It was maybe a month later. And it was amazing because this is really a simple concept, but God works through the simple. I swear you could put a banana peel on your head and just preach and God will use it because it's really not about us. I've done some stupid things in the past and somehow, you know, God moves and it's amazing. But what they did is they went down to Ground Zero and they set up these booths. They were called free prayer booths, right? Just a big sign, free prayer. Got behind there and people lined up like you couldn't believe for free prayer. So if you line up, you know, they're praying for them, led some of them to Christ. It was amazing. Just, you know, crazy stuff. What else do we do? Primary healthcare teams. We have a team in Laos right now. They're just getting ready to get back. Just going over and being in God's hands. We do this school that when you do this school after 6 months, you'll be able to administer to people with 80% of the health problems of the world you can address after a 6-month training school in primary healthcare. Because most of the world's problems in healthcare, which are huge, you don't need a surgeon for. You know, you don't need 10 years of medical stuff. You just need to be able to understand hygiene. You need to be able to understand a few things. And it's amazing. You go into these places and you extend God's mercy to them, right? Just God's love to them. And their hearts will open up. We had a team that was over in Laos last year or in Thailand, and they did everything they could. The guy's ear was all messed up and he was just a wreck. He couldn't hear. And so they did everything they could. They just prayed. And God touched his ear, and he was able to hear. But, I mean, they could see. I mean, they said it was just nasty, and God did it. We sent a team to India a couple years ago to lepers. Now, in India, they have a caste system, right? And these lepers, a lot of them had never been touched before. No human touch. And I think most of us know the studies. I mean, you die inside without human touch. And so our team of young people went over there. And their job, they had a big leper conference, right? You know, you went down to a conference, except they put on this big conference for lepers, you know, and just to minister to them, and our team would just be holding them, hugging them, and it would break them. People were like, you know, people don't come near us. We're the untouchables. And yet you could say, you know what, God touches you. God has love for you. He sent us to love on you, just all the way across from America to give you a hug. And I mean, that is mercy. You know, sometimes we have misconceptions, like with HIV when it came out, different health problems of the world. You know, so we get really scared about different things. And we've got teams that minister with HIV, and again, people, the outcasts. And yet God is there. He needs people to be able to show his love. And that's how he's chosen to do it, is through us. You know, and whether we're administering through primary health care or in other ways, we can just be God's love to people. The tsunamis in Thailand, we've sent several teams there. There was, you know, down in southern Thailand, so Muslim down there. If there's ever a problem in Thailand, it will come from the south. There's some extremists going on. It's mostly Buddhist, pretty easy going for the most part. But down in the south is where all the Muslim, well, when the tsunami came in, that's where it hit hardest, was down in the south. And some of these villages that were Muslim hated Christians, had nothing to do with YWAM or any other organization. Since then, YWAM and other organizations have gone in there and started rebuilding their houses, not preaching, not saying, you know, you got to turn from Islam, but just going in and loving these guys. And I'm telling you, it is huge what's going on. You know, churches are being started. They're open. They're asking questions because they didn't see fellow Muslims reaching out to them. But they saw these Christians. They saw people from around the world coming. They didn't even know them, just to rebuild their houses, to, you know, do preschools and that kind of stuff. Amazing, God's love. We helped a village in the Ukraine, the gypsies. In the Ukraine, the gypsies are kind of the outcasts. It seems like every society has kind of their people that, you know, are the nobodies and the people that they cut off. And in Ukraine, it's the gypsies. And so we had our team go out, and they were just ministering with these gypsies, and they had water that they would have to hike forever. I mean, these ladies, old ladies, you know, trying to hike up to get water because they're just gypsies. That's what the government said. They're just gypsies. You know, who cares if they got water? God cares that they have water. God cares that they're valuable people, right? And so the team went in there, and they helped put a water system in that was able to be done by hand so that it wasn't an American generator system that breaks after the Americans leaves. But the Ukrainian gypsies, they helped build it, and they have running water to this day into there. Again, just, and they're asking, why are you doing this? And isn't it great to be able to say, because God loves you. He wants you to have clean water, and we love you because God says you're valuable. I mean, that is so powerful. Just for a team to go overseas and do that is powerful. And that's what I love about missions. When you talk about mercy, that's mercy, isn't it? I mean, that's going and extending. They know they didn't deserve it. They're like, we don't deserve this. Why would you do this? Because God did it for us. He extended mercy to us when we didn't deserve mercy. There's some real fun things that you can do as well with preaching the gospel. Let me see here. One of the things we do in town, because as you know, race car is of God, right? So we have a race car. It's a Youth of the Mission race car, and we go out to the track on Saturday nights. And so we have a pit crew. We have a driver from the base. 6 or 7 of our people go out there. And it was really interesting because our sports guy, we have a big sports ministry on the base, do basketball, race car driving, all that stuff. And they're calling out to the track, and the lady's freaking out when they call her. She's like, oh, I can't believe YWAM's calling to come out here. She goes, we've been praying that God would send some Christians out here to this racetrack because we're Christians, they're the owners, and we just really want to see God do some things out here at this racetrack. So we've been out there a couple years. The first year, we stunk so bad. Our car, we pulled out of a dump to begin with, you know, out of a garbage pile. So you can imagine, I mean, that's YWAM. I mean, you're talking about humble beginnings. You guys did a book on humility. Oh, my gosh. I'm like, God, why do you have to work us so deeply in humility? So our car, you'd step on it, and everyone else's car would go, and ours would go, you know, finally take off, you know. But Kevin, the guy who was racing the track, racing the car, he'd be out there at the pit, and he'd be helping other people's car, you know. Hey, what's wrong? And they're like, what is up with this guy? You know, he's just out serving, ministering, right? The meaning of minister is to serve, and that's what they was doing. He's just serving. They're all blown away, so they loved Kevin. And so the next year, they ended up hiring 7 of the YWAMers on Saturday night to go out and run concessions and souvenirs and all this kind of stuff, just out the race car track, you know. Didn't pay a lot, but they weren't out there to get paid a lot. But afterwards, she gave YWAM, they had this big banquet ceremony and stuff, and they awarded, I can't remember the name of it, but basically it was like their favorite people award, you know, were the YWAM group that came out, and which was really, I think, exciting and fun. And she also said, we have never made more money in concessions than this year. Well, it's because they weren't getting ripped off, you know, because they would hire, you know, young people, all different kinds of people, and all of our people were, you know, they were just putting the money in the cash register, and hey, what do you want for free? You know, they didn't do any of that. So they were really blessed. But just being Christ out there, I mean, you talk about a subculture, wow, that whole racing culture is a subculture that needs to know God. We just went out there and be friends. You know, there's so many different ways you do it. You know, when you say missions, you know, again, that's why I don't like the traditional model mindset in our mind that sees someone going off to Africa. That is one model of missions. But missions really is taking the gospel to people. I mean, that's the mission, right? Preach the gospel, disciple. And that's in our communities, that's wherever. And so really, I mean, we're all missionaries. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, a missionary is just someone who takes the gospel to people. And that's what the racetrack, they need the gospel. So it's not a big thing. You know, we don't get up and stand up and start preaching, hey, you know, you're going to go to hell. If you go out there and you make friends and you serve them and you get to know them and conversation comes up and it's great. You know, and there's people out there we're praying specifically to see come to Christ, and it's fun stuff. Right now, we've got teams in the Ukraine. We got 2 in Thailand, 1 in Laos, Katrina, India, Nepal, Uganda and Sudan, Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan. We're sending one to Thailand in December, Northern Ireland in December, India in December, and another team to Katrina in December. And it's going to be good stuff. You know, they're going to have a good time. And you know what? They're just going to go out and be Jesus to people. And sometimes that's on a street corner. You know, I've been on the street corner out preaching the gospel. I've been serving the food, prayed for people, done all sorts of things. And so when I think of missions, that's what I think. I just think of going out and being Christ to wherever God might call you to do in that country. And I kind of have this. I want to know, who can tell me the 3 most unreached countries in the world? Okay? By numbers, not by percentages, but by numbers. What 3 countries are the most unreached countries in the world? Okay, by population, all right? So I'll give you number one, China. All right, so what's number two? Someone raise their hand. India, all right. Number three, who gets it? No, that's a big one, though. Number three, America. That is true. America, missiologists are telling us. I have a little backpack here. Let me see it. Got this backpack from the folks at the Message Bible. So here you go. You can give it as a gift since you got that right. So it's a $40 backpack and Bible there. All right, mercy. So, but America, they say, is the third most unreached by numbers. Again, not percentages, because Indonesia certainly by percentage. But there's a lot of pagan people. There's a lot of people that don't know the gospel. Good people. They live at the racetrack, you know? They're down the streets. They're all over. They need missionaries. They need the church to be there, you know? And I think that's why in Acts it says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. Because simply God's heart is the whole world. And I just want to close by showing you some pictures. After I do that, I was going to share a story there. Of just some pictures of the world. This is the people that are going to be before the throne in Revelation. So when we say why missions, because it's God's heart. He wants all the peoples of the world at that throne room. You know, and we got a lot of them in America, praise God. Obviously, our country needs Christ as well. There's a lot of places in the world, too. And I just appreciate Dave's heart and several of you who support missionaries. A lot of you aren't going to be called to go, but you may be the ones to pray. You may be able to support people. You may be able to just have a heart for the world. And whatever that may be is fine. Just know that God, man, there's so many places in this world that haven't heard one time. Not one time. And God's heart beats for the whole world. But I think there's a special place. I know in my heart that He's put for these places that, you know, when I came to Christ, it was awesome. But I had so many opportunities. How many opportunities have we had? And yet there's many places that haven't had one. So pray for those that God sends out. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. So it's a pleasure to be with you tonight.
You know, as Ron was talking, I want you to turn your Bibles with me real quick just to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll have the worship team come on up and kind of get ready here to close our service. You know, as Ron was talking tonight, one of the things that I really want you to really get a heart for is just, and we've mentioned this before, is it's not so much in our mind that we just do mercy ministries as much as we learn to love mercy. because a heart that loves mercy is going to automatically begin to give mercy. It's going to be part of how you operate. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul makes an interesting statement here down in verse 19. He says this, he says, though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. And I think often, you know, we think of missions or we think of even evangelism or service to our community as us getting on a street corner and, you know, proclaiming the gospel. Or going door to door and knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. But, you know, the real heart that we have is learning how we can make an influence and have a very unique influence in our community, in our culture around us, and to do it very, very well through serving them by having mercy on them. And Ron mentioned it so well, and I appreciate what he said, was our heart really is to learn how to minister in Jerusalem so as we begin to affect then the other parts of the earth. And that's really where we're at. And so when Ron comes and shares with us a global perspective of what God is doing, I appreciate that because I want you to begin to get a heart for yes, the peoples of the world, but also just beginning to serve others in your own community, to begin to take on opportunities that are around you to give that mercy type of ministry. Funny stories, we're coming in tonight and we were running a little late and there's this gal stopped on the side of the road, right? It's pouring down rain. And I drive right by her. And immediately the picture of that priest walking by the, you know, the dude laying on the side of the road in the Good Samaritan story. And I thought, man, here I am late. Lord, I have got to get to this church. I'm running behind. Ron's gonna be before I get there. I don't wanna be late. And I just thought, you know, I need to turn around. And so I turn around and I pull behind this gal. And again, it's pouring down rain. I get out of the car and I say, are you okay? And she says, yeah, I know this is totally weird, but I am scared to death of spiders and one ran across my dash. And I, you know, I'm laughing hysterically, right? And I said, spider, really? She said, yeah. I said, did you get it? You know, like, you know, I knew. And she said, no, I'm scared of them. I said, no, I know, I realize that. So I searched her car looking for a spider, you know, and I said, well, I can't find it. Where did it go? It went down that corner over there, you know. And so I'm looking in the corner, and I can't find the spider. And I said, you know, I think it looks okay, you know. So I get back in the car, and for that moment, I was rejoicing the fact that I stopped to help somebody who was not half dead, but was half scared to death about a spider. The point is this, is that things happen in our lives every day. We mentioned this the other day in our sermon here last week, that happen every day in our life. And if we are not sensitive to be on God's agenda, if you will, and on God's time frame, we are going to miss opportunities that God may allow us to serve someone, to be able to offer a hand of mercy, to be able to even be able to give them a word of encouragement, or better yet, even a word of the gospel. And it doesn't have to be where we stand up and we every time we meet somebody, we tell them the gospel, but we begin that opportunity of serving them because it is so unusual for people, even in our own nation, to stop and just take time to care for somebody.